It's time for another great episode of the Ringside Rant with your host from the hills of West Virginia, J.D. Justin Davis. And from Rochester, New York, this is RJ.
Welcome to Visionaries Global Media, your number one source for podcasting entertainment. Visionaries Global Media, envisioning excellence on a global scale.
Brush is an electric toothbrush that will change the way you think about brushing your teeth. With powerful sonic technology and ultra gentle bristles, the brush redefines what it means to have super clean teeth. It's like that feeling when you just leave the dentist, a fresh, whole mouth clean every single day. Our listeners here at the Ringside Rant can get 15% off their total purchase with the code POD15. That's POD15. Follow the link in the show notes to enter the code POD15 to get your exclusive discount and upgrade your oral health routine.
John Cena, while you lay there, hopefully as uncomfortable as you possibly can be, I want you to listen to me. I want you to digest this, because before I leave in 3 weeks with your WWE Championship, I have a lot of things I want to get off my chest. I don't hate you, John. I don't even dislike you. I do like you. I like you a hell of a lot more than I like most people in the back. I hate this idea that you're the best. Because you're not. I'm the best. I'm the best in the world. There's one thing you're better at than I am. And that's kissing Vince McMahon's ass. You're as good as kissing Vince's ass as Hulk Hogan was. I don't know if you're as good as Dwayne, though. He's a pretty good ass kisser. Always was and still is. Oops, I'm breaking the fourth wall. I am the best wrestler in the world. I've been the best ever since day one when I walked into this company, and I've been vilified and hated since that day because Paul Heyman saw something in me that nobody else wanted to admit. That's right, I'm a Paul Heyman guy. You know who else was a Paul Heyman guy? Brock Lesnar. And he split, just like I'm splitting, but the biggest difference between me and Brock is I'm going to leave with the WWE Championship.
It's Friday. It's 9 a.m. You know what that means. Another great episode of the Ringside Rant is here with you. I am the man with the magical voice, RJ. He is the man from the hills of West Virginia himself.
He's on summer vacation, that is. He is Justin Davis. Justin, how's summer vacation going for you so far?
Oh, hello, everybody. Good to be here with you on this wonderful Friday morning. And summer vacation is going well. A lot of chilling on the back deck and the pool with the dog. So it's been kind of relaxed back here most of the summer. I'm going to Cleveland this weekend to do some softball umpiring. And then the weekend after that, going on a family vacay on a little lake retreat. So, yeah, just relaxing over here.
Well, I'm glad somebody is. Christ, I'm just getting off that 1 a.m. to 11 a.m. shift at work. It's like, Christ, man, I'm looking forward to that Top Guy weekend coming up here at Labor Day. Hopefully be here sooner than we think. But yeah, and hopefully, knock on wood, nothing goes wrong on my end as far as family wise that I can get out there to Chicago with hopefully the Canadian one himself. Hopefully the border will be open by then. I've heard conflicting reports. So,
well, it may be open for everyone but him, knowing his reputation.
Well, but the thing is, if it would have been closed for him, it would have been closed for him a long time ago.
Yeah, I think this Friday, it's around 75 days from Top Guy weekend. So it will be here before you know it.
Yeah. Well, like I said, hopefully all goes well. The border will be up. Hopefully I won't have to scramble to get a plane ticket out to Chicago. But
I'm hearing a rumor that one Tully Blanchard may possibly be making an appearance at Top Guy weekend.
That rumor and innuendo is running rapid throughout the
I think we have a wonderful young lady in Kentucky, Miss Amy Vaughn, to thank for that request, from what I'm seeing on Twitter and hearing from Mr. Thompson himself.
Oh yeah, and I just finished that episode this morning before we hopped on here to record. I think it was the June 14th episode of 86 of
What Happened When.
There you go. So but yeah, it will be interesting to see. Hopefully we're definitely getting Arn, and hopefully we'll get some other surprises. Hopefully we'll all be there to bask in that glory.
If we get Arn, Tully, and JJ Dillon, somebody might have to have a towel underneath Amy, if you know what I'm saying.
Or they have some sort of pillow behind her because she'll be fainting or something.
Yeah. It's going to be a happening, as Gorilla Monsoon used to say.
You're kidding me. No, but big shout out to Amy. Big fan, she's a listener of the show. So appreciate Justin and I both appreciate that little tidbit of information that you dropped there for Mr. Thompson himself. So, but with that being said, we'll get started with this episode, Justin, but CM Punk's pipe bomb promo is something that has gone down in history in professional wrestling, just not WWE, because we've recently talked about the formation of the NWO being a turning point in the business in 96, 97 era right there. This, to me anyways, this is one of those other instances that really turned the business around for the good, for the bad. It's very much opinionated, but this really did, to me anyways. Like I said, I don't know how you feel about that.
I don't know that it turned the business around. I mean, if you look at business overall, it was about the same before and after, I think, but it's definitely remembered as one of the most recognizable, most remembered, you know, promos in WWE history or wrestling history. You can look back at certain promos, you know, over history, and there's a lot that come to mind. But this one would definitely be in, I think, most people's top three.
Yeah, definitely. And I know a lot of our younger listeners to the show and younger wrestling fans, this is something that is those events that really define your wrestling fandom. Like for you and I, obviously going back to Hogan Warrior, Hogan Savage, Austin Rock, all those little feuds and times, those things that happened, those WCW, the NWO forming, Bash at the Beach in 86, all that stuff. This is kind of comparable, but kind of not comparable, if that makes any sense, to have that really turning point in your fandom whenever you're that wrestling fan.
Yeah, I mean, that Hogan 96 promo turning heel, It wasn't remembered necessarily for what he said. It's more remembered just because he turned heel and cut a promo. Mm-hmm. This promo we're talking about today is more remembered for what he said, because, you know, he goes into kind of, like he said, oh, I'm breaking the fourth wall, kind of goes in and lays into Vince McMahon for, you know, always, you know, putting over John Cena and pushing John Cena, and, you know, talks about Dwayne, you know, Dwayne Johnson, and, you know, accuses him and Cena and others of, you know, kissing ass, so to speak. And honestly, I wasn't watching wrestling when this went on, but going back and watching the promo now, it doesn't seem that controversial. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like people cut promos like that all the time, kind of now, it seems like. But back then, I can, you know, it definitely was one of the first of its kind. I mean, there have been promos where, you know, Brian Pillman saying, I respect you, Booker man, you know, at Kevin Sullivan, and everyone took that as being really behind the scenes and breaking the fourth wall, so to speak. So it has happened before, but I don't know ever in this much detail that CM Punk went into.
Yeah. But one man that never breaks the fourth wall is Mr. Rich Palladino. So let's send it up to the ring with him right now.
Ringside Rant fans, it's the opening contest.
All right. Thanks for that, Rich. So, Justin, we're going to intermingle the Pipebomb promo into this episode a little bit in case people out there aren't familiar with CM Punk, aren't familiar with the promo that he has cut, because it's like a 6 or 7 minute promo. But throughout the episode, we're going to intermingle that, edit it in. So people that, like I said, they haven't heard it before, we'll hear it on this episode. So, but to me, going back and watching it again, along the same lines of what you said, doesn't really compare to today's promos, doesn't really stand up to it. I get that. But at that time, when I was watching it live back in 2011, to me, it was kind of like, okay, is this a shoot or is it work? What the hell's going on? Because up until then, this was the kind of I'll call it the bullshit era of the WWE, because not a lot of stuff was going on and ratings weren't good, just like they aren't really that good now. And this was one of those things that they tried to turn it around at that time. But do you, going back and seeing it, do you, looking at it now, let's go back to 2011. Did you think that it was a work at that time, or do you think it was pretty much a shoot?
I mean, everything's a work in wrestling.
Right.
Nothing goes on Vince's TV unless he puts it on his TV. So to me, it's hard for me to ever think anything's a shoot except for the screw job. And I know a lot of people think that's a work, but I think it's a shoot. But other than that, most everything's a work in wrestling. And so, yeah, I'd have to say I thought it was a work.
Because you looking back at it now, and you'll hear about, like I said, you'll hear the specifics of that promo throughout this episode. And just the fact that he brings up Colt Cabana, he brings up Ring of Honor, he brings up New Japan, he brings up Dwayne being The Rock, Cena, all that crap.
Vince, I thought he was talking about Dwayne Gill. He wasn't.
Well, that's what I thought it was too originally, right off the cuff, but he didn't have any sparklers because, you know, when you want to sell something for Dwayne Gill, you have to have sparklers, because if you have sparklers, you're over.
Well, Dwayne Gill's over in my book all day.
Dude, he's a good dude. I met him at a Starcast in Baltimore. Such a great dude.
And
if
anyone's never checked out his cameos, check those out, because it's quite entertaining.
Oh my God. And it's, I don't know how he is in health, so I hope you're doing, not that he's listening to this show, but anyways, I hope he's doing real well. I know he had a battle there with, I think he had a heart attack a few months back, yeah, or last year, maybe, I don't even remember. And I really hope he's doing well. Great dude. Like I said, if you ever have a chance to meet him or interview him or go to an event that he's there, I would highly, highly suggest you do so, because he definitely puts on a great show. Him and Mr.
I'd like to see a match between Dwayne Gill and Pondwater Dave. Who do you think?
That's tough, man. But the thing is, though, with that, who would go over, though? Because, you know, Pondwater Dave is the expert of the Von Erich claw.
Well, he also slammed Jay-Z. I've never seen Pondwater Dave sell anything. So, I mean.
Well, other than Pondwater and T-shirts.
I don't even think he sold that shot to the eye, but that's a whole nother story.
Well, the only things he sells is the effects of the, I believe is the vodka or something that he drank. Was he drink vodka or brown?
I think he sells Cheetos too.
The Flaming Hat Cheetos. Yeah. I try to talk to him on a regular basis, but yeah, it's like these Flaming Hot Cheetos they're hot down here. I'm like, well, dude, you're in fucking Mississippi, man. Of course it's hot down there. They want their flaming hot shit down there.
I don't know. Watching the way that Super Dave just dominated Jay-Z at Loki Big Hog Weekend, I'm going to have to go Super Dave over Dwayne Gill, over Gilbert.
But see, how would you, would Pondwater Dave get the actual pyro, or would you want to go with like sparklers? Well, you can't go with sparklers because that's Gilbert. But
oh, Pondwater Dave would come out all 4'6" of him in a 6'5" robe, dragging the ground. You know, slink out of that and then just go wild, beat the shit out Gilbert. That's how that would happen.
But Pondwater Dave, as we're talking about pipe bomb promos, he's one of those guys that can drop those pipe bomb promos.
Oh,
like
he would.
Other.
Yeah, he'd beat his ass and then drop a promo afterward. Probably just like the one that we're talking about right now.
Exactly. I would say, hey, any guy that can slam Jay-Z is good in my book. But no, big shout out to Pondwater Dave. Big fan of him. And I know who he respects the show. So I respect him hand over fist. But nowadays it's so hard to realize not so much in WWE, because everything's a fucking work in WWE. More so AEW and a lot of the non-WWE promotions.
People that actually let people write their own promos.
Right, exactly. That's where I was going with that. I'm glad you saw that writing on the wall with that. But you try to realize what the hell is a work, what the hell is a shoot. And to me, I'm along the same lines as you, Justin. Everything's a work in WWE, or excuse me, in wrestling, until it's not. Until you show me proof that it's not a work, then I'll believe it's a shoot. And like I said, I'm along the same lines as the whole Montreal Screwjob was. I think I see both sides of it. I lean more towards it's a shoot than a work, but I can see how some evidence goes towards the work. And that's kind of...
All I know is if it's a work, Brett got a really shitty deal out of that.
Well, he went to WCW and he died by Goldberg, so almost died by Goldberg, but with CM Punk, you never really saw this coming as far as this pipe bomb promo, because when he came into the company, as you'll hear with this promo, is he was the Paul Heyman guy. Paul Heyman put up a lot of gust and go, or whatever the hell you want to talk about, whatever you want to say about that. He stuck his neck out for CM Punk to come into ECW. I think it was WWE ECW at that time.
Mm-hmm.
Coming in as a straight edge dude, whatever.
Won the ECW championship.
Right. And he talks about never got just due. He never really got put over like a lot of the other guys. And especially at this time frame, he's facing guys like Cena. He's facing guys like Triple H. Later this year, I believe it was at Night of Champions 2011, which ironically enough, I was at because it was in Buffalo. And you try to, like I said, you try to figure out what the hell's going on with this. What is this a work? Is this a shoot? I keep on going back to that because I think that's what they try to do with this time, is try to dispel that disbelief in your subconscious, in your head, because that'll make you tune into Raw every week. That'll make you buy the pay-per-view. That'll get you to buy the merchandise. Because this time everybody was turning on the company, because you had Johnny Ace, excuse me. I can't do that voice. I tried to attempt it at that time, but hey boss, your veins are so vascular, bro. But
that's not bad.
I try, man. I try. But people power, all that crap at that time. And what got me going a little bit too, it was John Cena was basically putting up, you know, John Cena was doing it for the better of the business, because you saw at, I believe it was, oh crap, what the hell is the Money in the Bank 2011. You watch this match. You and I both went back and watched this match. They're trying to come out and replay that screw job back from 97 in Montreal. And a lot of modern day, that present day, and during this time wrestling, they try to relive the past. They try to redo
it. WWE has redone the screw job 20 million times. And at this point, it is exhausting. I hope they have put that away and locked it up in the box of gimmicks, never to return.
It's going to happen again, man. We saw it again when Triple H screwed Seth Rollins later on, when Owens won the Universal title. He screwed Seth Rollins out of it. He's dead. Seth Rollins screwed Roman Reigns out of it. It's like, what the hell? Just come up with something new. And that, like I said, we're not going to get too much into the weeds here on the modern day stuff, but you know, and even AEW, they did the whole, what was it? The Super Soaker thing. They tried to relive Milkomania, and they tried to relive the beer truck. So you're trying to hit that nostalgic feel. I get that. Fine. Wonderful. Great. Grand. But just let it go, man. And this is along the same lines. Do they try to relive the screw job?
When you're reliving memories, you're not making new ones.
And just because you're doing it again doesn't make that it's better. That's where I go. That's the other side of it. Where just because 2011, you're reliving stuff from 97, doesn't necessarily make it's going to be good. Doesn't necessarily mean that the ratings are going to be better.
And to the 7-year-old slapdick sitting in the crowd, he doesn't give a shit about what happened in 1997.
He wasn't even fucking alive. Jesus right. Christ. You know, and it's, I think they're trying to just like, you're trying to get now anyways, is like with me, I'm reliving it with my son with the Attitude Era or the WCW era, whatever. But you try to look at it as positive as possible. And it just wasn't, man. It just wasn't. They're trying so goddamn hard here. But
and the thing I did hate about the ending of that match, like Vince come out and kind of just looked at the ring. Cena just walks out and says, you know, I don't want to win this way. Gets in, immediately gets the finish from CM Punk, matches over. Like, and I know in wrestling, it's always got to be the distraction, but was it that big of a distraction where he just gets in and the match is over? But I will say the match was hot as hell. The fans were all in for CM Punk, and I'm always down for Cena getting booed. So I enjoyed the match a lot, rewatching it.
How dare you? John Cena is a natural treasure. How dare you? I don't know. It just felt like one of those moments. I don't know.
I wish I couldn't see him.
I don't know what you're talking about. I can't see anything. But with this pipe bomb promo that we're talking about, do you think that this really transcended, was the template for promos coming up into modern day? Do you think that a lot of the guys and gals now go back and watch and try to emulate, to a certain extent, the promos when they're cutting it? Or do you think it was just there?
I think that CM Punk was like Jake the Snake, and that when they cut promos, you believed them. Mm-hmm. And you either have that or you don't, no matter what you're saying. It's a believability factor. Now, was what he's saying controversial? Yes, but it goes back to, do you believe him or not? I mean, if someone else cuts that promo who you don't really believe in, you know, or give a crap about, that promo doesn't work. So it, the whole thing, did it change how people cut promos? Not really, I don't think, because WWE's still writing them and they're going to be bland cookie cutter bullshit. But that one, just that whole angle really worked well. And I got to imagine that CM Punk had a lot of leeway in what was said in that promo. I think that he probably wrote that, cut that himself. I don't think that was written for him. Maybe he had some work with it. What do you think?
I think it was more, as far as, if I had to put a percentage on it, I'm pretty sure it was probably about like 70-30, 70 company, 30 him. Just because of that hometown feel, because they knew going into it, Money in the Bank was going to be in Chicago. It's his hometown. Everybody there knows Colt Cabana. Everybody knows a history that they have. And I think, I don't think he basically told them as much as they wanted to hear about as far as what he was going to say per se, but I think they're just trying at this point, I think they're trying to throw it against a wall and seeing what sticks. And I think this was one of the few times that they threw it against a wall and a majority of it stuck, because this drew, I think, just from just past experiences, past conversations that I've had with other wrestling fans, other content creators, other podcasters, that this promo really brought them back into watching the WWE, watching wrestling in general, because them, him talking about Ring of, maybe I'll go back to Ring of Honor, will cause them to go back in the archives and watch his old Ring of Honor stuff with Samoa Joe, with Adam Cole, with Brian Danielson, and really get back.
His original feud with Raven.
Right, exactly. And I believe that was, I want to say it was either like a hardcore match or a chain match or some sort of gimmicked match. And they bled like goddamn stuffed pigs. And it, this brought me back because I watched Ring of Honor at that time, before he made it really a name for himself, because I don't know how, being in Western Ohio when growing up, if you got it broadcast, but we still get a broadcast out here on Saturday and Sunday, Saturday and Sunday afternoon, excuse me, if you don't catch it on fight.tv live, quote unquote, because it's, they're all recorded now, but you don't catch it live on Monday at 7. But back then you had to get it on broadcast. You didn't have the internet like you do today, but you see a lot of these guys like a CM Punk, Brett Danielson, Sanjay Dutt, a lot of these great guys that have grown up in the business that have made it to the WWE, AJ Styles being another one of them. But you can't,
I mean, and also speaking of his Ring of Honor work, he also got the first 5-star match by Meltzer in 7 years
in Ring of Honor
with Samoa Joe. Yeah, that was in 2004. He hadn't given a 5-star rating since Undertaker Shawn Michaels Hell in the Cell 97.
Yeah,
Bad Blood in Your House.
And that was the debut of Kane too.
Yeah.
So you get that 2003, 2004, 2005 of Ring of Honor. I'd say I'm just spitballing here as I spit over the fucking microphone.
Literally spitballing.
Really, literally. And if you really look at the roster, probably I'd say 80 to 90% of that roster at some point between the years of 2011-10 until modern day, 80 to 90% of that roster has been through the WWE, because they go back and they look and they want to grab these guys while they can. Samoa Joe, Danielson, We had Christopher Daniels and Kazarian did a bunch of dark stuff in the company. But if you want to see the template of great professional wrestling, go back and watch Ring of Honor from 2003, maybe even 2003 to about 2005, 2004. That two, three-year window there of Ring of Honor was absolutely phenomenal. And you're starting to see that now, modern day, but the...
Then he was actually in TNA. Don't forget that. And for a short period of time after he left Ring of Honor.
Oh, Punk, yeah.
Punk went to TNA there. And I guess I read this too. He got into a physical altercation with Teddy Hart backstage at TNA.
Oh, yeah. I remember hearing about that too. Yeah, that was... Well, I think everybody did that at that time.
I guess Sabu broke it up.
Yeah, but I think at that time, everybody got in a backstage fight with Teddy Hart. Still to this day. But when he's not in prison or something,
I guess
his cat.
Well, the story goes, it says the scuffle reportedly stemmed from a Ring of Honor show in which Hart performed three unplanned spots, putting several other wrestlers in danger of injury. So, you know, and I'm sure knowing CM Punk, he had no time for that.
Well, right. But going back and look at it now, do you really think that CM Punk is one of the best stick men in wrestling?
Yeah, he would be in my top 5 or 10 for sure. I mean, there's your Dusties and your Pipers and your Flares. They're all going to be in there. But I would put CM Punk definitely in my top 10. I'm not sure where. One of these days we might have to do a show on ranking stickmen.
Yeah.
I like to consider myself a pretty good stickman, but I think we're talking about two different things.
I will plead the fifth on that. I don't want a cease and desist order coming to my door and knocking or something. Come on, pal. But you're talking all time. You're not just talking 2011. You're talking all time.
Yeah. But at that time, CM Punk's the best.
Yeah.
On the mic. Yeah. I don't think that's really would be even not a lot of people would argue that, I wouldn't think.
No, and I think what really got this over, we'll touch on this a little bit now, and then we'll get to the next segment, but he's doing what everybody else that isn't involved in wrestling wants to do to their boss. You, me, everybody gets pissed off at their bosses.
He kind of updated the Stone Cold Steve Austin gimmick in a way.
Right.
Kind of like going, yeah.
Minus the beer, of course.
Right.
But
Straight Edge Stone Cold.
There you go. That's got to be a shirt, man. That's got to Straight Edge Stone Cold. Straight Edge Stone Cold. My God, he's broken in half. But he's basically doing what everybody else really wants to do to their bosses. But he wasn't so much kicking their ass physically, but he was kicking their ass
microphone
wise. And I think that's how a lot of people related to it. What got it over even more than a lot of the past stuff at this time, because nobody else is giving a shit about it. And it pains me to say this, is this the women's division at this time was horrendous in WWE. And the fans had to be happy about something. And
Michael McClanahan would say, that was pre-Charlotte. That's PC.
Jesus Christ. We'll get to Money Mike later on, but geez, you had to bring that up. And don't get me wrong. I'm glad that the women's wrestling is doing so well today. It's rightfully deserved. It really is. But, we'll save. Obviously, well, I'm sure we'll probably save that conversation for another time. I'm sure, but with that CM Punk promo, man, when you can have fans relate to you just by a promo and get it over, dude, that's you're head and shoulders above the rest, man. You really are, and we're talking not just in 2011. We're talking all time. He was probably one of those guys. He was the next best promo after, I'd say, Rock. I'm not comparing him to Rock by any means, But you're talking, we'll say what, Rock left what, about 03, 04, give or take, to go to Hollywood. And that's a big damn window to have nobody that can talk on a freaking microphone and cut a good promo.
Yeah.
And I think, like I said, I think CM Punk really, he really hit the hit home run with that, man. He really did. And I really beg to differ. Anybody out there that can tell me any different of another guy that really can cut a promo here in the early 2010s, we'll say.
Does Jim Cornette count?
Cornette's in a Cornette is, as far as promos, he's in a class of his own. He has his own damn wing. Actually, yes. You know what? He has his own house of promos.
For sure.
But another guy that can cut a great promo is Mr. Rich Paladino.
So the slim down Rich Paladino.
What's that?
The slim down Rich Paladino.
Oh, slim trim and a, well, I don't even know what the hell to say. Slim trim and ready to kick your ass if you call him large. But dude, he's going to kill me for that. But anyways, let's send it up to the ring before he comes down and kicks my ass.
It is now time for Rants and Raves.
I've grabbed so many of Vincent K. McMahon's imaginary brass rings that it's finally dawned on me that they're just that. They're completely imaginary. The only thing that's real is me and the fact that day in and day out for almost 6 years, I have proved to everybody in the world that I am the best on this microphone, in that ring, even at commentary. Nobody can touch me. And yet, no matter how many times I prove it, I'm not on your lovely little collector cups. I'm not on the cover of the program. I'm barely promoted. I don't get to be in movies. I'm certainly not on any crappy show on the USA Network. I'm not on the poster of WrestleMania. I'm not in the signature that's produced at the start of the show. I'm not on Conan O'Brien, I'm not on Jimmy Fallon, but the fact of the matter is I should be, and trust me, this isn't sour grapes, but the fact that Dwayne is in the main event of WrestleMania next year and I'm not makes me sick. Oh, hey, let me get something straight. Those of you who are cheering me right now, you are just the biggest part of me leaving as anything else, because you're the ones that are sipping out of those collector cups right now. You're the ones that buy those programs that my face isn't on the cover of. And then at 5 a.m. at the airport, you try to shove it in my face so you can get an autograph and try to sell it on eBay because you're too lazy to go get a real job.
Thank you for that, Rich. And thank you for not actually coming down and kicking my ass. I hopefully won't get a letter in the mail. I'm sure he'll be the one. He's very high up out there in the New England area, and he has many, many connections with a lot of lawyers out there. So hopefully we won't get the cease and desist and have to shut down operation.
Well, I'm in West Virginia. Don't make me get Stephen P. New on his ass, because I will.
Yeah, but
we'll have a battle.
There we go. Live on a ringside rant. There you go. So it is now time for the Rants and Raves. Like Rich said, it's one of my favorite segments every week here on the show. And it has nothing to do with that. I came up with it. It's just because I like ranting and raving. So CM Punk has always been top of a conversation, Justin, about coming back. We saw him go to the MMA, not do too well, I should say. In the MMA world.
0 for 2.
We always get those chances, even in AEW. Maybe not in AEW, but more of WWE, obviously. Oh, the CM Punk chant. CM Punk. He ain't coming back, you morons. And then he comes back. Then he comes back and goes on Fox.
If there was ever a time for him to come back, it was during StarCast. I think it was 3 that we were at in Chicago.
Yeah.
Where he actually did do an appearance at StarCast with Conrad. And then everyone thought he was going to show up at the AEW pay-per-view, which of course then did not happen. And our friend from Canada now will not speak CM Punk's name because he is now dead to him after he didn't go to the pay-per-view or didn't show up at the pay-per-view. He said, if he doesn't come, he's dead to me. So he's dead to him. He doesn't speak of him anymore.
Maybe he's a la like John Cena. You can't see him.
Yep.
But do you really see him coming back, though? Does he? Let me put this, phrase it this way, too. Does he need to come back?
No, I think his legacy is pretty cemented. And I think when people look back at the CM Punk years and the WWE and TNA, Ring of Honor, whatever, they look back pretty fondly, and especially the WWE run. Now, would him coming back be huge? Yeah. Would it automatically put a shot in the arm of the WWE and you would see ratings go up? No, I don't think so. I don't think he's a rock or somebody like could, that, you know, if he was there every week could do that. So do I see him coming back? No, because I don't see him working for Vince. Like you said, when he worked on that WWE post pre-show, whatever the hell it was, yeah, that was for Fox. It wasn't for WWE. So,
right. And I see him doing a lot more of an appearance based, working wise in wrestling, because honestly, you can throw as much money as you want at him. I don't think I put him in the same category as a Bryan Danielson, where you can throw as much money at him as you want. He doesn't give a shit. He wants to do it just because he wants to do it for the love of the sport of wrestling. And whether that means going to Fox or whether that means going to ESPN or whatever, wherever, they're going to do it because they want to do it, because it's fun, not because they have to. And I don't think Bryan Danielson and CM Punk nearly need the money. I think they've been pretty smart in their career as far as putting the money away and saving it. Obviously, Bryan having a family and Punk being married to AJ Lee, but God damn him for that. Anyways, but I don't think he really needs it. I think he can do these star casts. He can do these, God help me if he shows up at Top Guy Weekend.
Chicago.
I think I will actually pee myself if he shows up. A la what Top Gal Amy would do with Tully, but that's the conversation for another time. But these appearances that he could do, because a lot of the fans now don't know CM Punk, and they can go back and they can Google the internet and find out a lot of the stuff that he did, whether it be good, bad, and different. But as far as in-ring goes, we've seen a lot of the stuff that Sting has done in AEW. We've seen a lot of the stuff that Christian has done in AEW, what Edge has done in the WWE when he came back a couple years ago at the Royal Rumble. I think the options are there. From everything that I've seen, he's still in decent shape. Not to say that he couldn't get into shape, but I think the possibilities, the options are up to him. And I think at this time, I don't think the money has to be right, but I think the right company has to be right. I don't see him making a more of a one or two off kind of thing with WWE. I think if they would have done it, they would have done it by now. That's why I think a lot of the AEW talk is a better possibility. I even think, Christ, why not Ring of Honor saying, hey, you started your career, your wrestling career with us. Why don't you come back for a shot or two? That I think that's the shot in the arm that Ring of Honor needs. That's how I would book it. Hopefully, obviously I can't speak for him, but hopefully he can give them like the friends and family discount
I was going to say, I don't think they got enough money for that.
But that's what I'm saying. If that's even a possibility, like I said, I highly doubt that's even a possibility. But give them the friends and family discount. This is where you started. Negotiate with them. Get a lot of these guys, these young kids are Ring of Honor, to go out and say, hey, dude, what's going on with this? What's going on with that? The guys that he started with are still there. Get Jay Lethal to go pitch it to him. Jay Lethal is a hell of a salesman in this business. And go out and do that. Bring them to NWA, Christ. You're seeing a lot of these guys come back with the NWA. Have Nick Aldis go out and pitch it to him. And I can't imagine the match that Nick Aldis and CM Punk could have in the NWA. I can't imagine. That would sell that 75th, well, I believe it's a 75th anniversary or what have you show of the NWA's coming up soon. Shit. You're trying to find somebody to.
I didn't know that NWA and Mark Nelson became born in the same year. Learn something every day,
I guess. But can you imagine that shot in the arm for that company, having bringing in CM Punk for a couple of shows, potentially beating the champ? Can you imagine that? And I'm sure it's been a conversation with a lot of people, a lot of wrestling fans. Who the hell is out there that can beat Nick Aldis for the title? Why not CM Punk?
Yeah. But until there are full crowds in stadiums and in places, I don't think you'll ever see him come back, because why waste that pop on not having people in there? You know, I mean, you'd have to wait until we get everybody back and all that, which it seems like we're getting there. But
slowly but surely, and I think a lot of the NWA shows, and they've been doing a lot in the Georgia theater or the Georgia broadcast theater there, where they had all the old Crockett stuff. And the old NWA stuff. But I think they're starting to see a lot. I know they're starting to travel too. So it's all a possibility at that point, but we'll say, and if it does happen, you know where you heard it first. You heard it right here on the Ringside Rant. RJ called CM Punk versus Nick Aldis. I just want to make sure that it's recorded and not edited out. Cause I want credit for it. So wrestling fans have always been out there talking about certain people being overrated, underrated, properly rated. Where would you rate CM Punk? Do you think he's overrated? Do you think he's underrated? Do you think he's properly rated? I'm not specifically at this time. Keep in mind. I mean, as a whole, coming in as Ring of Honor, go all the way up to the end here with WWE.
I think he's properly rated. I think, you know, most people consider him a top guy. Is he one of the greatest ever? Not for me, because he didn't put in enough tenure, so to speak. And I guess, I mean, you know what I mean? It was just such a short kind of run in the WWE. Not that it wasn't a great run, but I think to be considered a top guy, you need to put in the years that the Cenas and the Hogans and the Austins and the Bret Harts and those guys put in. And I just don't know that you can qualify him that because of that. Does that make any sense?
No, it makes a lot of sense. Believe it or not. Yeah. If it's one thing we can agree on is we have our own little language here. And even if we don't have to say anything, we kind of figure out what we really want to say. But I don't know where the hell that came from, but what the hell, but with CM Punk is, I know a lot of people don't like him. A lot of people think he's overrated, but you have to look, I look at it this way. 2011, not a lot of good things that happened in the company or in the wrestling business in general. He made people believe again. He made people come back to the business that haven't watched since, we'll say 2002, because that's really when the WWE was really hot, up in 2002, 2003. And not a lot of people were really watching the business, watching the company on a regular basis. You know, we saw the likes of, you know, like a Kurt Angle coming in and then leaving, going over to TNA. We saw the Authority come in, which is an absolutely fucking dumpster fire of a year, pretty much that it was. But to me, when you try to think of how people are rated, whether it be overrated, underrated, properly rated, he is somewhere in there in between underrated and properly rated. I don't think he's overrated by any means, because he still has that background outside of your pure wrestling, whether it be like the jiu-jitsu, whether it be any type of that background, where he can physically bend you, tear you down just to build you up to tear you down again. With CM Punk overall, if it wasn't for him at this time, WWE would have been even worse off than it is.
And yeah, if it, you gotta consider at the time there was a economy crash in like 08 09,
right?
And so yeah, this probably, I'm sure, helped WWE kind of dig up out of that.
And I really think you can compare 2011 WWE to 2020 WWE, whether it's along the same lines or not, it's pretty damn close, because 2020-2021 has been a bad year for the WWE, along the same lines as 2011, I think.
Yeah, it is cyclical.
So at this time, we saw 2011 Money in the Bank. Spoiler alert, if you haven't watched it, go hit pause, go watch it now. CM Punk beats Cena for the title, quote unquote, takes it away from the company. We know later on that he re-signs for a lot of money, and then gets thrown into a feud with Triple H because of that. We saw him win the IC title. We saw him win Money in the Bank. We saw him win the WWE, the World Heavyweight title.
And the tag team.
And the tag titles. So he won a lot of gold in the company.
He was the 19th, triple crown winner of the WWE.
Right. Do you think that he should have won more gold, as many, like the amount of times he's won? Because he didn't win that many after that. You know, he was one time, two time, that type of thing. Do you think that he should have put the straps on him a lot more before he left?
I think he would have got that opportunity had he stayed longer than however many years he did. So, I mean, no is the short answer to that. I think they put plenty of gold on him in a pretty quick time, really, considering everything. So, like I said, he could have won a lot more if he would have been around a lot longer.
I just wish they would have, maybe not so much the heavyweight, but get him like that U.S. or IC title or something, man. Just get him something, because the more you have gold around his waist, the more merch you're going to sell, which then will then turn it into more pay-per-views you're going to sell. So the rates will go higher. So I think you put the straps on him a little bit, then the business, the company will do a hell of a lot better, because people want to see him win. People want to see him beat the crap out of people. Plain and simple. We said, okay, Triple H, you had a feud with John Cena. You had a feud with, you even had a feud with The Undertaker. You had a feud with Randy Orton. Who do you think his best feud was before he left in his career there with the company?
I mean, I would say probably Samoa Joe. You know, they're
earlier on there in Ring of Honor.
Yeah, that was probably, now, as far as WWE goes, the one I remember the most is his Undertaker feud. And I actually liked that. I thought that was good.
Because that culminated at WrestleMania, right?
Yes.
Okay. But I'll throw a curveball, and I agree with you with those two. but you can also throw something in there as far as the same lines as with Randy Orton. We saw that at WrestleMania too. And John Cena, when you think CM Punk, you think John Cena, because this 2011 Money in the Bank, one of the best matches that either one of them have ever had. And then with the Randy Orton feud we saw later on, we know a lot of people are not Randy Orton fans. I'm a Randy Orton fan. I saw him come up in the business, but that psychological game that he plays, that CM Punk plays, that got the feud over even more than their actual matches did. And you got to, when you think best rivalries, you got to bring Orton and Cena into it. As much as, like you said, those Ring of Honor feuds were probably a lot better than anything here, period. Stuff with Brian Danielson, like I said, with Samoa Joe, with Raven, those matches were transcending, because without those matches, I don't think we would have seen, you know, the Cena feud, the Triple H feud. I know how you feel about Triple H, so I won't get too far into that. But like I said, even with that Randy Orton feud, that's low key, seriously, probably one of his better feuds because of that secondary aspect of it being the psychological, you know, FU kind of thing. But something and someone that doesn't mess with you psychologically or physically, I hope not, is Mr. Rich Palladino. So let's send it up to the ring to him right now.
It's listener questions.
I'm leaving with the WWE Championship on July 17th. And hell, who knows? Maybe I'll go defend it in New Japan Pro Wrestling. Maybe I'll go back to Ring of Honor. Hey, Colt Cabana, how you doing? The reason I'm leaving is you people, because after I'm gone, you're still going to pour money into this company. I'm just a spoke on the wheel. The wheel's going to keep turning, and I understand that. But Vince McMahon's going to make money despite himself. He's a millionaire who should be a billionaire. You know why he's not a billionaire? It's because he surrounds himself with glad-handing, nonsensical yes-men like John Laurinaitis, who's going to tell him everything that he wants to hear. And I'd like to think that maybe this company will be better after Vince McMahon's dead. But the fact is, it's going to get taken over by his idiotic daughter and his doofus son-in-law and the rest of his stupid family. Let me tell you a personal story about Vince McMahon, all right? Do we do this whole bully camp?
All right, RJ. Well, as you know, I was not watching a ton of wrestling around 2011. I actually just started my career as a teacher, so I was probably a little involved with that more. I did pay attention to it some, but I was not watching, like I said, very much at all. What would you consider your Mount Rushmore of CM Punk matches as far as that goes? Because I've only seen a few, really.
Well, the Mount Rushmore of matches that really never happened for CM Punk, that I really would have wanted to see, because we talked about a lot of the matches that he did have.
Yeah.
That we brought up. The ones that I really wanted to see that we never really did. We never had the opportunity before he left. Like I said, in no particular order by any means. I would wanted to see, I'll read them off and then I'll kind of go into depth a little bit on them. My first one was him and Kurt Angle. Second one was CM Punk versus Tommaso Ciampa.
I am for Ciampa wrestling anybody.
Exactly. third one, just because I just a big fan of him, was Arn Anderson.
Yeah.
And then lastly, but certainly not least, is Tommy End, AKA Aleister Black. So I'll start with Aleister Black, just because we may see this too. You never know, because he just got released by the company. Just two of the guys that have that martial arts background that could beat you physically, but also beat you psychologically because they could play that against you as well. Arne Anderson, I think his resume pretty much speaks for itself, where he's could be a little stiff-ski sometimes. So can CM Punk. You could throw him down with the best of them.
Be some good promos after each other.
Exactly. But you, to get a good rivalry, to get a good feud, you have to have all aspects of that in the business. Like you said, on the microphone, in the ring, outside of the ring. I'm really positive Arn Anderson would actually call that in the ring.
Mm-hmm.
Arn Anderson would make sure that CM Punk knows how to do this, this, and this. I don't think that they'll talk about it too much before, but once you get in the ring, they'll do good. They'll call it in the ring. Let's call it a ring, brother. We're not saying anything after or before. Tommaso Ciampa. He is the type of wrestler that could beat you seven ways to Sunday, build you up, knock you back down again, just to build you up, because that's how he is.
He's definitely one of my favorite current wrestlers. I love his matches. Love everything about it. I wish they put the world title on him.
Again, yeah, well, he never had that rematch. I'm sure down the road, I'm sure it'll happen. And I think his association with Timothy Thatcher has been real good for both of them. But with Ciampa, he's a New England guy, Northeast guy, Midwest for CM Punk being obviously out of Chicago, but could have say, like I said, same along the same lines as Arn Anderson kind of thing. Everything in the ring can cut promos. The feud's going to excel. It's plain and simple.
And same thing with the angle match. Yeah,
exactly. And you get more so with angle because he is more of a mat based wrestler, which he could knock you down and bend your arms and legs and make you tap that way.
Well, I put those two in a submission match. You know, that.
Well, but you know, I don't think you could even put him in a submission match because I think you want to promote something that's not. I think that would be too obvious.
Yeah, you could build the whole angle around it. You know, who has the most submission moves? Who's gonna? You know, they could. I think it could work. I'll tell you, I wish CM Punk and Eddie Guerrero would have overlapped.
Yeah, I was trying to go back because that was another one I was thinking about, but I had to go back because I tried to Google that too, and I'm like, they had to. Well, maybe not because he passed in 05, so maybe not.
Yeah.
Maybe, but I know Eddie went back to Ring of Honor for a couple shots there when he got fired. Earlier there in 2000s. But I'm trying to think. I'm like, I know he made a couple indie spots, Eddie, that is, but I really don't think that Punk was there. I think he might have been in ROH or something. I don't like. Somebody correct me if I'm wrong. I'll have to Google it when we get done here, but I'm pretty sure that they didn't.
A CM Punk Kurt Hennig match would have been awesome. Mr. Perfect and CM Punk. Edge versus the Perfect Plex.
Oh, yeah. Perfectly straight.
Yeah.
There you go.
Efren. That's Efren, isn't it? Perfectly straight. Oh.
Yeah. we'll just let that marinate for a little bit. Okay. All right. So, going on to our listener question of the week, our good buddy, Michael McClanahan, Money Mike, asked us, which of the following two events had a more significant long-term impact on the WWE? CM Punk's promo in 2011 or walking out of the WWE in 2014? What do you think, Justin?
Oh, it's the promo. I think anytime anybody talks about CM Punk, the first thing that pops up is the promo. And I think that, you know, he's going to be now, does that have more long-term impact? I think so. I mean, him walking out, it was just, he quit. I mean, you can say it had hypothetical long-term impact, but no one really knows what long-term impact him leaving, if it had any at all, really. Mm-hmm. You know, the WWE just, they're always going to have someone in that spot. It's just not you anymore because you quit. So then someone else takes that spot. So is there any long-term impact? Yeah, I mean, he lost out on some more title reigns and, you know, being a part and getting a nice paycheck for a long time. That's, but I think it had more long-term impact on him than it did the business itself.
Mm. Well, I think you could argue either side of this. I've been decisive all goddamn show on this, but I think it has an impact. Either one of them has an impact on the business, because in 2014, the business wasn't as hot. With CM Punk leaving, I think that was more beneficial because you never know where he was going to end up. Is this for real? Is he really gone? Is he going to come back? We, till this day, we still have the CM Punk chance. So I think that had him leaving had a substantial amount larger impact than the latter, because yeah, the promo was great. Yeah, it really kind of knocked down that fourth wall in the business and opened up that forbidden door, so to speak, that we hear about nowadays. But I think in 2014, that played a lot bigger of a role in it, because the business wasn't as popular as it was in 2011 after the promo. After this, okay, where the hell is he going? He's going to go back to ROH. Is he going to stay with the company? Is he behind the scenes? Is he going to come back at the Royal Rumble? Is he going to go to AEW later on? Obviously, we didn't know at that time AEW was going to be there, but by him leaving, it really put a damper on the business. And I think long-term wise, it hurt the business, because he then would go on to, you know, have that podcast with Colt Cabana and really open up the business even more and really shit on a lot of people, which put a sour taste in a lot of people's mouths. Vince McMahon being one of them, because yeah. we haven't, and until we saw him come back, like we said, that was with Fox. That wasn't with the company. It just had happened to be.
Yeah, just he seems a to show be pretty strong. He seems to be pretty strongly anti Vince still to this day. I don't think that it really ended well with him and Vince. I don't think he appreciated being treated in some ways at the end the way he was. And apparently he still has pretty raw feelings, I think, on his end of that.
And a lot of people will always go to that as being like, that's why he hasn't come back. It's Vince McMahon. Once Vince McMahon passes, oh, he'll be back.
No, I don't think that's necessarily the case.
I don't think so either. But you also have to take into account, at this point, as of right now, he is 42 years old. Yes, the company, yes, the business is a lot better now as far as keeping guys in shape, making sure they're not doing as much in their ring. Their schedule is a little bit different than what it was back in 2011, 2014. But yeah. Why would he want to come back? He's happy in doing these shows, these conventions that he is now. There's just so much other things out there that he could be doing. He could go into acting again.
Just think, Flair was halfway through his career at 42.
Exactly. He still would have. Yeah. But you have to take into account too, where CM Punk is nowhere near a Flair-esque wrestler. Because Flair didn't do a lot of the stuff that CM Punk has done as far as in-ring stuff. That's what kept Flair along around as long as he did.
Flair took a lot of big backdrops.
No. A lot. I get that too, but you also
and power slams and all that.
But
gorilla presses.
But with CM Punk though, you're telling me that all this stuff that he's doing off the top rope, all these Anaconda vices, all these submission moves, all this stuff that he's really having done to him by like Undertaker, by Kane, a lot of these bigger dudes. Ric Flair wasn't getting that stuff done to him. at that time, earlier on. I mean, later on, obviously, you know, going over his whole crap show at TNA run. That should be enough evidence for you.
Well, that's true. What, hey, what are we doing next week? What's on the show next week?
So before we get to next week, I just want to thank, obviously, Money Mike for asking that question. Thank you for being one of the loyal listeners that we have.
Money.
Mike. There you go. You can isolate that right now and be your ringtone, Mike. But first and foremost, I want to thank everybody for tuning in this week to the Ringside Rant. Make sure you head over to wherever you get your great podcasts and download the Ringside Rant feed. You can also give us a follow with the Shining Wizard Network as well across all your major podcast platforms. As well, as you heard at the beginning of the show, we are back with the Visionaries Global Media Network. Thrilled to be back home with them. It was one of the networks that I co-founded with the guys from View from the Top Rope, Chad and Diesel. So I'm happy to be back there with you, Justin, this time. So go give them a subscription over on iTunes, wherever you get podcasts, basically. You could also head over to ringsiderant.whatforapparel.com. We got a new shirt out there, Justin. I'm sure you saw it. Bald is beautiful, and so is Justin Davis. I might make an amend to that. I don't know yet, but we'll see what happens. But yeah, seriously, go over there, check it out, see what you think. It's that time of year, folks. You're going to a lot of these conventions. Why not support the Ringside Rant at the same time? We appreciate that. I think that's all the promotions that we have, Justin. I'm pretty sure, right? Oh, follow us on social media. There you go. Man, I'm off today, man. That 1 to 11 a.m. shift really took a lot out of me.
At Ringside Rant and at JD2040 on the Twitter machine.
Yes.
And I'm still waiting to hear what we're doing next week. Damn it. What are we doing next week?
God damn it. It's like you have things to do or something. Jesus Christ, Justin. Calm yourself down.
No, I'm genuinely curious.
I'm sure you are. I'm sure you are. You're a curious kind of fella, aren't you? So with that, we are going to be paying homage to the hardcore legend himself. No, it's not Mick Foley. It was the man before him. Mr. Terry Funk is turning 77 years young.
There's a whore. Oh, yeah. That's Terry Funk is turning how old?
77 on June the 30th.
77.
So next week, we are going to be doing everything. We'll be ranting everything Terry Funk. So if you have any questions you want us to address between now and next week, head us up on Twitter at _ringsiderant or at JD2040 with your questions. For the show, hopefully we'll be able to get to them. I'm not saying hopefully we'll get to them. What the hell?
I'm excited for that show. I love me some Terry Funk. I'm excited to go back and watch some Terry Funk matches this week, getting ready for it.
I will suggest, and you know this, go back and watch that feud that he had with Ric Flair.
Yeah, no doubt.
That was in the early 90s there.
And some of his crazy ass death matches.
Yeah, his stuff with Foley. I don't know if I would want to suggest going back and seeing Chainsaw Charlie and Mick Foley and not Mick Foley and Cactus Jack there. I believe that was 99.
Yeah.
Yeah. Something like that.
99.
But with that being said, thank you so much for tuning in this week. For Justin, I am RJ. We'll see you right back here next week in Ranters Nation.